back. WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. Oh, yes, I have an extra pep in my step this week. It's not just the Orioles being unbeatable at this point as we head toward the All-Star break and the Lamar Jackson saga continues. We're taking the Maryland Crab Cake Tour back out on the road. It is all presented by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. I have show and tell for all my sponsors now. I have the Goodwill truck. I called it a bus, but it's a truck. I got to get used to that. And our friends at Window Nation supporting what we're doing in conjunction with our friends at the Restaurant Association of Maryland. We're doing 31 crab cakes, 31 breweries, and I got started at Costas last week in Key Brewing over in Dundalk. We're going to be getting out all over the state, and it's because of friends and sponsors and good stuff that we do around here, including Dennis Kolatsis from Coons Ford over beautiful Security Boulevard, and where, you know, the air is a little crisper, you know, the days pass a little quicker at Coons Ford when the Orioles are winning, right? Like, it's been a little while now. I mean, we have to, if there's a bandwagon, guys like you and I at least have to have a fingernail on it, right, to get dragged along, right?
Yeah, you know, I just finished watching Wimbledon, and I saw the Orioles were winning in the seventh inning, and then I was looking for the game, Ness, and I the Nationals are on, and the Mets are on, and all of these teams are on, and I saw it was somewhere on Peacock, and I've got 2,000 channels, and you know what? I got frustrated, and I moved on to something else.
And the game started at, like, breakfast. It was like brunch at Camden Yards.
And they had a nice crowd out there, which was, it was good to see. It really is. As a Baltimorean, we, you know, as much as we throw rocks at them for mismanaging the team and a lot of things they've done, it's nice to see people at the park. It really is.
Well, and for me, and I spoke to Luke at length about, look, we can talk about the team and whether they're a contender and buying or selling and how the relief pitching is and how the starting pitching is going to hold up and blah, blah, blah. You know, whether Rutschman's going to hit more than 220, and I think he is, right? Like, we can talk baseball because that's what I've done here for 31 years. I can talk about the farm system, talk about them spending money, talk about all of that. But for me, there's a couple of pieces, and I'm going to write about this soon as I, you know, I've been releasing Purple Rain in an effort. I'm going to start writing again in September about sports and being a columnist about sports while I talk about the rest of the world here. But it is my art form, and I want to go back to writing short form after games, 15, 18 inches a copy as I would know it, and have a statement about games. And so part of it's like riding a bike. You start to, you know, practice and rehearse. And I thought there's two things in my mind right now. One is there's genuine excitement, right? Like all over my Facebook, people out there this week, specifically when they're in the park, getting their free widget shirt that I always thought looked like a tablecloth, the floppy hats, which I got a Window Nation one here. It's a bucket hat. My girl, Chloe, my intern, she thinks it looks great. I mean, the kids love it. She's 20. But you know, I've never been a floppy hat, even though it's a fisherman's hat, right? Kind of, sort of, right? And we could talk about Big Fish and Patrick Queen as well. But I'll just say this, two stories. The excitement of the fans that is very, very genuine, right? And then there is, for guys like you and me, the Sharpies, you know, the people that manage people and build brands and do things like you, you know, you've done all these years with your dealership, and I've tried to do here with my mothership and all that, is run the place and be a good citizen and front face. And they have another chance, the boys, right? Like, before they sell it, before mom dies, before the league comes and takes it, they come in from the hills or they trade to own the Nationals, whatever they're going to do, they have a real chance here. The Yankees are coming in. You know what I mean? They have a real chance here over a couple of weeks to even right the wrongs of Dennis Kolatsis and Nestor Aparicio. You know, they have a real chance here to invite people like us back and say, we get it. We get it. We weren't good stewards. Dad did some ish that he might not have should done to all of y'all. But you know what, man? We got, like, we want you down here. We want your money, Dennis. We want you to buy Skybox. We want you to buy Club Suite. We want your grandchildren. We want all of that, right? We want them to run the bases. This is their chance to do that, right? It really is. This is Orioles 3.0, if they wish it to be, because they really do wish it to be and they believe it. But enough for you and me to spend money yet? I don't know. You tell me.
It's going to take a while. It's going to take a minute. But now, as you mentioned, they have some momentum. The trick is, will they capitalize on that momentum? As you said, are they going to reach out to the community? Are they going to be more visible? Are they going to hit up little league teams and offer them some free ticket, perhaps. Let the kids run the bases and have fun out there and whatnot. Just not about floppy hats and shirts, is it? T-shirts or whatever you want to call them. It's about building the brand, right? And so now they have an opportunity. They have an exciting young team. They have a team that that doesn't quit. They have a team that believes in themselves, and they're growing. And every day I watch the box score nest, and every day I watch the standings as they creep close to that 500 mark and perhaps over it, right? They're not that far. They're 4.5 games out of second, which, when's the last time we said it about the Baltimore Orioles?
Well, and the way they're winning, right? I mean, They're losing by a couple of runs in front of 30,000 people. It's late, man. At night. Everybody's drinking and boozed up, and they got their hats and their shirts and the Hawaiian, and they're hitting three, you know, like it's the stuff that's going on the last couple, the five hits and they're winning games, right? So this is what, you know, good teams do. I mean, I've been following baseball a long time, and I've talked to Luke about this, whether they're buyers or sellers or whatever, they need you and me to be buyers of what they're selling. Right. Yeah. I mean, they need people like, not just people that want to go get free t-shirts and they go out there once a year and they had their night. And now it's for other people to go out there. They've had crowds of 7,000 people. It's like A's games or Expos games, whatever they're, the accusatory thing you'd say about the crowds. Look, man, you and I got together since the last, you and I were talking about public safety the last time we got together.
Man, oh man, were we ever.
So we had a shooting in broad daylight, as we'd say.
Awful, just plain awful.
A squeegee boy shooting a pedestrian who attacked him. We have black and white. We have young and old. And we have it literally. Den, this is where I live. It was literally where my hands are on the screen.
I know.
Literally out the window of where I've seen kids squeegee for years. And then 75,000 people show up at the ballpark that weekend because they want a Hawaiian shirt, right? So there is this. People will come. I mean, they will. Maybe you won't. Maybe others won't. Maybe people value their safety and the carjackings. I mean, just to me alone, and I've been called every name in the book just because I don't think the squeegee boy thing's a good idea. And I don't care who knows it because I live down there and I saw it. And this felt inevitable to me. But the Orioles still, on that weekend, drew people. Lots of people. Yeah. So it speaks to the power of sports, the power of their brand, the power of baseball, memories, bringing people out, free stuff and all that. But what happens 2 weeks from now when the Yankees come in?
Well, let's hope that the Orioles hold serve and that the hometown fans represent, right? It's one thing to play in front of a packed stadium. It's another thing if you're playing at home in a packed stadium and there are more visitors, visiting fans than home fans, right? So that's the one thing. Players got to be jacked up to play in front of what they played the last couple of days versus 7,000 fans. But even more so if the home team fans will not give up those tickets to Yankee fans.
You know, when I told Luke this, I said, what we have here is sort of the front end of like a Fernando mania, you know, the first week, like it could be. And I want to share something with you because, you know, oftentimes you ask me on your show where I've been and you're on my show here. And by the way, Dennis will be here on Thursday from 3 until 5 driving you home. Dennis Colazzo does the former Sunday sports voice. Now we're doing it on Thursday from 3 until 5. And again, on Sunday morning, if you're around, building enthusiasm as we're 2 weeks away on Lamar mania around here. Dennis, I went on Saturday night to see my favorite band from my youth and my Almost Famous back when I was a rock critic. I called them my Stillwater. If you were Almost Famous, you're a fan of that movie. They were my band, the Smithereens. And they've lost their lead singer. And I went down to a place called State Theater in Falls Church. And I'm in the bar watching the show. And I look up and Nasty Nestor is blaring in white, hot white off of a navy blue, look black with the number 65 and Nestor Cortez's face on it. And I'm thinking to myself, Dennis, this is what we need in this city. We need at Rutschman mania, Adley mania. We have Lamar mania to some degree, right? And we'll turn the page on that. But this is my point. It's a Saturday night. I'm at a Smithereens show. There's a couple hundred people there, right? No apparent Yankees fans or whatever. And why this guy was wearing it, I don't even know if Nestor Cortez pitched on Saturday night or not. But it's that sort of enthusiasm, right, that this man has for the Yankees.
Yeah.
That is real enough to buy a shirt with my name on it, stolen. I should be getting points on that.
You should. You should have trademarked Nasty Nestor many years ago. But you know what, Ness? Think back to when the Ravens won the Super Bowl back in 2000. In that era, Ravens fans would never give up their tickets to an opposing team's fans. You would never have Ravens fans selling out to Steelers fans, right? It was unheard of. And that's the kind of passion that the Orioles, it'd be great for them to build. It would also be great for the Ravens to rebuild that kind of passion, because that hasn't been there the last few years. You know, they've had some issues the entire NFL, which has caused fans to say, you know what, I'm not going to go. I'm going to put my tickets up an NFL exchange or whatever, StubHub, and I'll get rid of them. I don't care who sits in my seat. That would have never happened back in the 2000 era.
Man, you just said something that really hit me. You said Ravens and rebuild, right? Rebuild their brand. Absolutely. And they would so scoff that we make more money. We're in the quartile of the upper percentage, and Sashi's going to run it and not have a word to say, and Dick's going to run off into retirement and play golf with Kevin Byrne.
They can do all that, but they don't have what we had back then. It was such a special time, such a magical time. We had a collegiate type of a fervor and atmosphere at Ravens games, the tailgating, the people, the camaraderie, the people that sit next to you in the cheap seats and everywhere, and everybody hugging and bonding in the parades. That's when they get back to that, it's very difficult to do, Ness. Things have changed a lot. But when they can get to that level, then you can tell me about brand.
Well, and there is the Ravens brand, and this summer, and where they are off of not making the playoffs, right? Not selling a lot of tickets, although they'll scoff at that. You know, they took my tickets, so they'd sell mine. I hope somebody's in them. I hope somebody enjoys them as much as I did. but I would say for them with Lamar, are they sure he's coming? I mean, I'm asking. Look, I saw his Twitter, and. Yep. I don't know if you're his father, if you're his agent, if you're his big brother, if you have the wisdom that you have, having done what you've done in your life and I've done. If we were having a drink with Lamar and saying, dude, you shouldn't go play for $23 million. You should get your best deal. If you want to be here, if you don't want to be here, if you want to play in Miami, you want to play in Tampa, you get your best deal now. If it takes you a week and a half of camp and you fight with Eric and y'all make kumbaya and you get $182 million guaranteed, and that's the number you get. But whatever the number is, now's the time to get it. And I see him doing this passive aggressive, juvenile. I don't know what else to say. I mean, but this is the way these kids roll in the NBA. Ed Reed rolled this way a generation ago. We've been up and down that. I don't think you'd appreciate it as an employee. I would hope you and I would never take our WNST Coons relationship out onto the internet and back. It's weird to me. It's tacky to me, but it's also like, I don't think he's going to come and play kumbaya and play football for $23 million. I'm just going to be shocked if he does that.
Well, I don't think he has to, Nestor. And who knows, maybe the untimely and awful passing of Jalen Ferguson opens up his eyes. Jalen Ferguson, as we know, left behind three kids. He was about to get married. So his affairs weren't settled. He didn't have that big contract. And so maybe Lamar Jackson is of that mindset. Now, having lost one of his teammates, and I'm sure they were friendly with each other, not saying that they were best friends, but maybe that perhaps opens up Lamar's eyes, because all of a sudden now it's clear now he wants to get paid. Now he wants to negotiate, which was a different dynamic than we had prior to Jalen Ferguson's death. So I do think that sometimes in life things happen that waking somebody up to say, wait a minute, you know, it's not guaranteed, it's not forever, and I do need to protect my interest today versus rolling the dice tomorrow or next year.
Where do you believe he is with this Deshaun Watson money, which was insane? I mean, and an outlier, and you know, you can speak on behalf of the player or the agent or the team and say, would you give Lamar $231 million? You probably wouldn't give anybody. Maybe Shadi would have said 6 months ago, I wouldn't give that money to anybody. Not in this league under the terms we work under presently, that I'm not going to be the one that does that. And if it pisses off my quarterback, then so be it. You know what I mean? I don't know where they are. And it all seems he didn't come to camp. You know what I mean? He was asked after practice the other day. Like, I think they think he's coming 2 weeks from now, but I don't know what they knew when he didn't show up at OTAs. There's been no word on, like, did he send a carrier pigeon? Did he just not show up? Was his jersey hanging in the locker and they thought Lamar will be here on Monday? Or did he send a smokescreen and say, I'm not coming to OTA. I'm not coming. Like, I don't know how they're handling this, but it feels weird when he's handling it out on Twitter as a joke.
Well, you know what, again, he's a young man, and young people today communicate a lot differently than you and I did, right? It's just a different era and a different mindset. And he's a unique player. He thinks differently. But I do think there's a genuine willingness on his side and a Ravens side to get it done. I do think he's smart enough to discount to a degree the Deshaun Watson contract. He has to put it up there. He'd be foolish not to. But I do think a contract similar to perhaps what Josh Allen signed, something like that with maybe a little bit more, I think they put it together because they're a dramatically different team without him. They can't compete without Lamar Jackson. So they're kind of stuck between a rock and a hard place. So I think it's $45 million a year, maybe for 4 years, and maybe, I don't know, 150, 175 of it is guaranteed. I think that's a contract that makes sense for both sides.
Well, I mean, you just carved something out that if that is the headline on Thursday, right? If there's a deal, right there, as I've written to some of my minions, when you're ready to let us know, put the purple smoke out. We'll be standing out on the Lions Mill Road looking west.
Yeah.
When the deal, I mean, they have the money. They apparently love the kid, right?
Well, if
they
the
want to marry the kid, right? I think.
I'm just telling you, if I'm the Ravens, that's my pitch. That's my proposal. I don't want to insult them. And I'm not going to break the piggy bank based on the worst organization in professional sports making a poor decision. So that's my pitch to him.
Well, the Lamar, poor decision would be this, right? It's 22, 23, 24, 25, 26 is disputable, right? That's where you're going to say you're taking on a $50 million number, and how old is he then, and how much tread, and how many times is he going to run the ball in 23, 24, and 28, you know, like, and right. I mean, like that, you're asking at that point, is he broken down? What is he at that point that you're paying $50 million a year for? And oh, by the way, if you're Bisciotti and your soul, and this is really what he has to ask himself, right? It's the old Buck Showalter pile diver question, right? He has to ask himself, are we winning the Super Bowl with him? Because I know he believes in the general manager. He clearly believes in the coach who's already won. He believes in his own ideology. Is this the guy? Are we going to win a Super Bowl to the point where we can eat the $52 million if he's not as good in the end? Because we did that with Flacco, and we lived another day, and we were still a 500 team, and we took our draft picks and we took our licks, and we went back and drafted Lamar and got smarter than everybody else somehow and made it work and zigged when they zag, because that's who we are as managers of people.
Sure.
But, you know, if they're ready to marry Lamar, then marry Lamar, right? I mean, so what? You're $50 million out for a year or two, and you don't have a quarterback, and we stink, and you go 3-14, you draft someone else. I mean, that's part of how some of this works, is that you're this far along with him. You're not throwing him out at this point, I don't think, over $25 million of guaranteed money.
No, he is the league MVP from 2019. Theoretically, he's got his best football in front of him. And to me, he's still an ascending young player, and you're paying him from not what he's done, but what he's going to do. You ask me, is he a quarterback capable of winning a Super Bowl? He absolutely is. I think he can win a Super Bowl. I think he's a tremendous competitor. He wants to win. He wants that W. He wants that Super Bowl real, real bad. He still has a chip on his shoulder, Esther, the size of Texas, to prove a lot of people wrong. He's never forgotten that he was a 32nd player picked in the first round. He owes the Ravens a bit of gratitude for them believing in him, and I think that will be rewarded. I think they have a lot of good sweat equity with each other, the organization and the player, that I believe that they'll put something together. I can't believe he'll be playing for $23 million this year. I don't think he's going to do that, but I do think there's a happy medium that both sides can reach, as long as there's some common sense. Now, if he comes in and digs his heel and says, I want $230 million guaranteed, I don't see that happening. That's the only scenario that I see where Lamar Jackson doesn't play for the Ravens this year.
I'm really interested to see the communication about him not coming to OTAs. And I saw the communication he gave me and the media when questions were asked, and also where the heart of all of this is, right? Because you never really know that, right? If his heart is in Miami or Tampa and he thinks, I'll get paid elsewhere. Maybe he'll come and play this year and play it out and then be that guy looking for a deal. If his heart's to be here, there's plenty of money here. And if the Ravens' heart is into him, but I do think some feelings were moved when he wasn't out there for 2 weeks with him and his teammates, and how that happened and why that happened and what part of the communication was, well, I want $150 million or I'm not coming to practice that week, but I'll come 2 weeks later. It's just very, very unorthodox. That's all I can say about it. This doesn't feel normal to me, and it doesn't feel like he's just going to march into camp in 2 weeks and play for $23 million. I'm not believing he's going to do that.
Well, Nestor, the one thing I've learned the last couple of decades is, and you have to live it to actually appreciate it, is that for any organization, the worst thing is when your best employees, your leaders, become quiet. You don't want them becoming quiet because there's a disconnect somewhere. And it's like breaking the plate. You can put it back together again with glue, but you can still see cracks in that plate. And that's something you want to try to avoid at all costs. And that's my concern about this, where we are with Lamar Jackson in this negotiation. He grew quiet. He didn't say a whole lot. And that's not what you want to hear from your leader of your team. You want to hear, hey, I'm going to be there.
When this reporter goes up to him after he's throwing footballs around to kids, camp's 2 weeks away, I want to hear him saying, I don't want to talk about money. We're going to go win a Super Bowl. So I'll be there. Let everybody in Baltimore know I'm coming up to win to win the Super Bowl. Believe that. You know what I mean? Like, that's what you want to feel, not whatever this is. I don't know what this is, but
I don't think it's a negative. At least he's talking. At least he's saying, I want to get paid now. Right. So he's signaling he wants to get paid. So it's a far cry from Steve Bisciotti saying, hey, you know, money's not important to this young man. He just wanted to win a Super Bowl. He wants to prove it first. He doesn't have to prove anything. He's a 2019 league MVP. He's generational. He's mercurial. He is Lamar Jackson. So he doesn't have to he doesn't have to prove it. He's had great seasons, and he was hurt last year for the first time. So to me, he wants to get paid now, which I don't think is a bad thing. I think it does open up the opportunity for both sides to come together because they want to do business. Well, now it looks like he wants to do business. So that's why I think this thing will accelerate, and hopefully they'll put it together before the training camp starts.
The whole not coming to practice for 2 weeks, I don't harp on it, but it just – it's just really, really weird.
I think it's silly for them to fight. This is what I tell people all the time. When somebody's mad, I tell them, look, I don't want to fight with you, right? I want to resolve it. I'd rather resolve than fight. Because if you fight, then resolve it, why did you fight in the beginning? If your intention is to come to an agreement where everybody's happy, or maybe both sides are equally unhappy about the end result, then why fight in the first place? Let's just agree to agree right here, right now. Let's have the resolution without having to fight, which is a novel concept to a lot of people.
Well, and that's also the end of a lot of relationships, because after the fight, nobody feels the same.
Right. So why
you say the same thing about baseball arbitration?
Anything you want to talk about
in sports, especially though, but certainly in life, there's no doubt about that.
Everybody wants to win though. So to me, it's not that important. To me, the resolution is more important than a victory, because when you resolve something, that is a victory in and of itself. So let's figure it out. If there's a willingness on both parties to put something together. Now, if there isn't, okay, let's part company friends. We'll try to accommodate you. It's real simple. The Ravens have done it before. If he doesn't want to be in Baltimore, you and I know that they'll get him a one-way ticket out of here.
Dennis Colazzo, you can hear him with great thoughts on sports on Thursday afternoons, mixing it up here as we get through the summer, getting on to certainly the Sunday morning. So it'll be part of the Sunday Sports Voice before games in about 6-7 weeks now, not too far off, but here from 3 until 5 on Thursdays. Dennis, tell everybody about getting a car, Coons, because things have changed. We talk about it. If you haven't heard us in a period of time, it's not like the good old days. Red, blue, gray, white, black. What do you need? I'll get it for you tomorrow. You know, it'll be here. It is a little different right now, right?
It is, although Ford was up 32% in sales in June, which is, we're a tall midget, you know, because the market is down. But we have more than most. The deals are still very, very good. You can order your vehicle. It seems like we're starting to see some daylight with the chip shortage. We're starting to see more vehicles. So we're hoping to have a second half gangbusters in terms of inventory, where people have more of a selection. But right now, electric vehicles are hot. We have the all brand new F-150 Lightning in stock. I have a mannequin model sitting outside for test drives. 41 grand, Nestor, 4x4. It's got an extra cab. I mean, it's an amazing, amazing vehicle for $41,000.
And you'll have it for the winter.
Have it for the winter. Yeah. It's actually all-wheel drive. And it's got the frunk, which is the front trunk. You can put your two golf bags in there. You can put your beer, your beverages. It's just a phenomenal vehicle. But Ford continues to delight people with best offerings, whether it's the Lightning, the Bronco, the Mustang Mach-E, the Bronco Sport, you name it, we got it.
So, you know, I'm reissuing last summer's Crab Cake Tour to get ready for this year, because some of the places I'm not going back to, and I want to make sure everybody knows that I went to a lot of these places because I spent a lot of nights in my back and hotel rooms and all. We're going to get through it this year and do it the right way. But you gave me that vehicle last year as the first person to have it. It was bright blue. What do they call that blue? They have some fun Chevy Chase vacation
of
name.
Of course. Antimatter blue.
Antimatter.
I mean, it's just
sort of I can't look over my shoulder and you see the aquarium blue light. It's sort of that blue, right? So anyway, I'm driving to the beach and people were honking their horns, videotaping me driving the vehicle, of me videotaping them. I went into a store. I look out, people are peering in to the inside of it. I have all these pictures and I'm reissuing them now, that every time somebody stalked the vehicle, which happened, I was in it 5 days. It happened all 5 days on the way down,
crazy.
Everywhere I was in Ocean City. I have pictures of people taking pictures of the vehicle. And I thought it was just me, Dan, but apparently it was the Bronco. So beautiful vehicles. Dennis sells cars, but he also talks sports and life with us. We took a deeper dive into going downtown last week without even realizing what was happening. But at some point, would it not be for you and me 3 weeks from now, 2 weeks from now, when they play the Yankees, if there is a day down there and the Ford Motor Group gives you a couple tickets, you call your buddy Ness, and we go down there, and there's 32,000 people. Could it be fun for you on a blissful 74-degree July night? Could it be possible that we could go together and enjoy a ball game? Is that possible?
It's possible. I would Uber myself there. Absolutely.
Okay. All right. Well, then you'd have to wait for an Uber to get out.
I would take a lift down there. I would figure it out. But yes, I would go. I would take my chances and go down there.
Well, you know, you've said to me all these years, I like winners. When they win, I'll go. When they're relevant, I'll go. When they're good, I win.
That's what the Orioles, because I'm not a huge baseball. Football's different. I support them no matter what. They can be, you know, 0-17. I'd still be there. But the Orioles, yes, I'm very much a bandwagon fair weather fan. I really am.
You're a bandwagon Wimbledon fan too. You put that on, right?
I like sports. I like entertainment, and I like championship matches. I like drama, and you know, I played tennis at Eastern Votech back in the day under the lights in August, hot summer nights. So I enjoyed a good tennis match, and I enjoy history.
You know what? I would stop at the Royal Farms down there, and I would get that big old cup of what was it called? Icy, maybe? It came out of the machine.
Slushy, icy.
Slushy. We had them in the baseball caps, if you remember.
Yeah, man.
Down on Mace Avenue.
Cherries, they had cherry. They had the strawberry. They had ice blue.
Man, look, I was from Colgate, and Colgate Eastwood, they turned the tennis courts into a hockey rink. It was a roller hockey. Gotcha. And that was after the shooting in 1978, if you remember that. Colgate, we just had basketball courts. Our tennis courts weren't lit the right way. So you had to go to EVT,
yep.
Tapsco. Dundalk didn't have lights, and Essex Community College, also Essex, had beautiful courts. So
Overly High School had lights too.
Back at EVT, right, playing underneath the 695 back there,
yep.
Right?
Yep, exactly. Overly had some courts, and we'd spend some time, me and my friends, and you know, had a couple of beers on the side, some Slurpees, some Icy's, whatever, but we'd play all night long with the bugs all around us, 100-degree weather, nobody else out there.
Bugs everywhere, right?
Yeah, man. So it was a lot of fun. So I do appreciate, like I said, a great tennis match, and seeing Djokovic win his 21st major, 7th Wimbledon, and Nick Kyrgios, and watching his meltdowns and whatnot. It was a fun match. I was disappointed it didn't go to five sets, Ness. I was upset it only went four.
Well, yeah, you know, I was sitting in Nacho Mamas thinking the same thing, and the Orioles were playing at the time, and I'm like, this match, you know, maybe we're going to have, maybe we'll get an extra Orange Crush here or something,
yeah,
sitting here for some Berea tacos, but the beautiful brunch at Nacho Mamas.
They look good, by the way. That Berea poached eggs, that looked really, that was serious. I like that.
Oh, my God, Dennis, it's so good. It's like this delicious Mexican pot roast that they put over the eggs.
I saw it, man. Green chili on that thing, you know what? And here I am on a diet. I was salivating all over the screen watching you. Hey, how do you guys do it? You guys stay so thin. You guys eat, then Jen got some kind of waffles or something
with the strawberry and the blueberry waffles with the chicken.
I could have eaten both your breakfast, by the way, at one sitting.
That had that hot honey on it. I'm not a fan of hot honey. You like it?
I love both dishes. I could have eaten both in one sitting, unfortunately.
All right, well, we'll get you to Nacho Mamas for brunch. Dennis Colazzo is going to be here on Thursday from 3 until 5, back again on Sunday morning. And at some point, you know, we'll have a football season, and we're all crossing our fingers and hoping for the best here this year. I think the Ravens did a nice job in the offseason to get together. We're all going to have some excitement around here. Dennis is here Thursday, 3 until 5, and then Sunday mornings you can find him at Acoon's Ford of Baltimore, Security Boulevard. Make sure you stop and see them, new and pre-loved, and anything you need for your vehicle. I am Nestor. We are WNSD, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking Chicken Palooza, even though I'm not wearing the shirt right now. It's Chicken Palooza at the Rofos. I want to throw that out, even on Mace Avenue. Back for more right after this on Baltimore Positive.